The Chiefs survive the Ravens in a Thursday night thriller. We're going to preview the top college football games for week two and give you our locks, leans, and dogs. And Tennessee looks to break out against NC State this weekend in Charlotte. Check it out and more on Crane & Company. Hey, to all our listeners, you guys are the best. I hope you're enjoying maybe the fall weather starting to come in here a little bit. I know it's still really hot in some places, but whether you listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, doesn't matter. Leave us a 5-star review. Please keep sharing the show. We're so grateful for you guys, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. This year, college football is littered with talented young quarterbacks all across the country, from Jackson Arnold to Avery Johnson, Rocco Beck. I can go down the list, but this week, I think one is going to catapult himself into legitimate Heisman consideration early, and that is Nico Iamaleava. Some will say, yeah, it was only UT Chattanooga last weekend, and you're right. But he did play well against an Iowa team last year in the bowl game. It was pretty sporty on defense. They did have a couple opt-outs, but they were still pretty good. And when you watch his film and you see how fluid his mechanics are, how quick the ball gets out of his hand, even though he's long, and his ability to run, one cannot leave anything but impressed. But the biggest asset that I've seen from the tape is his obvious comfortability with the system that he is in under Josh Heupel and how the game doesn't look too fast for him. Those two things go hand in hand. Now, to those who don't believe in him yet, I ask, what's he bad at? Well, so far, nothing. He possesses everything a young quarterback needs to be able to actually put himself in position to be in the Heisman race moving forward as we get through the season. The team around him is solid. The weapons at the skill position look to be plutonium grade. And finally, this weekend, against an NC State team that deserves your respect, we're going to see if he can take that next big step. The tools are all there, and the time for potential is over. It's time to start reaching it. And at least so far, what he's put on tape has all the arrows pointing toward him putting the nation on notice this weekend in Charlotte that Nico's here to stay. I'm going to bring in my co-host, obviously, from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Huge matchup this weekend at home.
Yes, sir.
Longhorns, David Cone. And it's Friday. Y'all know who's to my right. Play it.
This is flaming vodka.
You bow to your sensei.
I am Dragon.
1.5. 1.5. They're not believing this, Cone. That's great. If you're new to the show, first off, thanks for hopping on. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a review, all that jazz. We cannot say my brother's legal name on this day. I'm not going to say it.
Jake will say it.
David, I know you're a long way away. Don't let him bait me. You know how this, especially during calls. All right, especially during calls. But I'm going to start. Let's get in a little keys to victory here with Nico at Tennessee. David, you're a former quarterback, obviously, at your alma mater right now. What are some things, even though the sample size is small, nobody's arguing that, but you can still get something out of it. What are some things that you see with Nico early that kind of point toward, hey, man, this guy may be ahead of schedule?
Playing quarterback's all about composure. And when I watch Nico play, man, he's poised in the pocket. Like you said, yeah, I mean, you start off the season against Chattanooga, but the bowl game was against Iowa, wasn't it, last year? I mean, one of the better defenses in the country. If he looks like he has his first two starts against this NC State defense, and like I told you guys, Tony Gibson knows this up-tempo spread offense as well as anyone in the country. If he looks as poised against NC State as he has so far in those first two starts, I think he's going to start really breaking away, and Tennessee's going to start climbing up the leaderboards. And he's not the only one with a chance this weekend. I mean, Shador Sanders, we always talk about, you know, being in the Heisman Trophy race. Well, you're going on the road to Nebraska. That's going to be a great opportunity for him. And then right here behind me, I think Quinn Ewers is going to have a chance against this Wink Martindale defense that I know we're going to talk about the keys to victory. So those are three guys right there. If you're really, Jake, talking about Nico moving up in the Heisman Trophy conversation, this is a big week for some guys to start separating themselves.
Well, Flaming, on that note, a guy I didn't even mention in the open is Dylan Raiola at Nebraska. If he comes out and maybe outshines Shadur, puts up some big numbers, even though with Nebraska's offense, if they're able to run the ball, Matt Rhule and them, they're going to do what's working. They're not going to force the envelope to juice up numbers. I mean, Dylan's a guy that could sneak up there. But Flaming, when you look at Nico, I mean, we've watched, you know, football since the day we were born, you know, sitting in front of the TV. Some guys you watch and you're just like, That guy can do it.
Yeah, and you immediately know he's special when you look at him. The kid's a freshman. He's 6'6", 220 pounds. That's hard to teach. And a couple things you can't teach. I think he's extremely accurate in the intermediate to medium to deep ball. And one thing I look for in young guys, especially at the quarterback position, does he get sped up? I haven't seen Nico get sped up yet, no matter what you've sent at him from a defensive standpoint. He's really good at recognizing blitzes. And I think another huge thing in this, and I think you have to give a lot of kudos to Josh Heupel, he fits this system perfectly. Mm-hmm. There's not a better fit from a quarterback to a system standpoint than Tennessee and Nico. But it's going to come – look, this NC State game, if you win it, it's going to be huge. But let's sit here and not act like if you're going to win the Heisman, you got to beat Alabama. If you're going to win the Heisman, you got to beat Georgia. Because sooner or later, you have to have a certain amount of W's in that win column to even get talked about being in.
Yeah, well, if you're watching the progression of building up to that point, NC State is a great opponent. Even though they struggled defensively against Western Carolina, we're going to get into keys to victory in a second. I think this is a perfect game to put himself in a position to then have to go on the road, David, to Oklahoma. That's going to be absolutely nuts. I mean, they're going to probably beat Houston to death after what we saw.
I can't wait for that
last week from that one. But one more quick note about Nico. You know, typically guys, I talked about the quick release. You know, he's a long guy, David. I mean, you're 6'7". You've had to deal with it. But running, you know, a lot of times those guys are long striders. It takes them a little bit to get going. Nico actually possesses the ability to change direction pretty well for a guy at that length, a guy at that size. Not only, you know, to hit the big runs once he gets going, but on those third and fours, if he's got to fit it in there and get in there, he can accelerate, he can move, he can make a guy miss and go pick up that first down.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. And to Blaine's point about Nico possibly being sped up, like I told you guys this week, at some point he's going to face adversity, right? Like every quarterback faces adversity, especially young quarterbacks. Possibly we'll see that this weekend against a really good NC State defense. I still think this is a solid defense. So Nico is going to face some adversity. When he does get sped up at some point against whatever team it is that just going to be a great opportunity for him to showcase his legs, Jake, which is a point you're making. I don't think we've seen him take off and run yet the way that he is capable of doing. Now, I don't know if he's Jaden Daniels just yet. And Blaine, you were talking about at some point you got to beat Alabama and you got to beat Georgia. You got to beat some combination of them, right? I mean, we saw Jaden Daniels win the Heisman Trophy without, you know, while still going 9-3. But yeah, it's some combination of the stats plus the big wins you have. So when he gets sped up at some point, faces adversity, is that just going to be a great opportunity for him to showcase how he can take off and move on the ground?
Yeah, and are your mistakes? Yep, we got one there. That's right, David. We got one
like,
early. That's
I feel like this is going to be tough sledding because I.
Yeah. No, you. Hey, listen. Rule 17, David. You know this. No excuses. Play like a champion.
I can't hit the over in the big house.
Yeah, no, that's true. Hey, believe me, it probably ain't hitting on Saturday, so at least it's going to hit once. When it comes down to mistakes, I mean, we talked about Grayson McCall, and let's go ahead and get in keys to victory here. Are those mistakes going to be catastrophic? But to me, if there's one key to victory, that kind of has both teams wrapped up in it. I think this game is going to come down to Tennessee's ability to run the ball against NC State. Last week, Western Carolina was having success lining up and running the ball against the Wolfpack. If you let Josh Heupel run the ball, this system is going to operate at an incredible efficiency because you're going to stay on schedule. You're already going to get caught in base a lot, and it's hard to check out of it because of the speed you're going. But that sets everything else up. We talk about it on the show all the time. You know, I think sometimes people get it confused. Think, oh, well, you know, Josh Heupel wants to throw it. Lane Kiffin wants to throw it. Lincoln Riley wants to throw it. No, they want to run it to throw it. If Josh Heupel is having success in the run game, he is going to run that thing till the cows come home because it does two things. It moves the ball forward. It gets you in the end zone. It opens up the pass, but it keeps your defense off the field. And it also puts pressure on that other offense to be able to go out there and answer you with the way that Tennessee operates. So last week, I do know, and I know it had an effect, but there's still no excuse if you're an NC State fan. Even though the mic went out of the game early, the middle linebacker because of targeting, the way you were kind of gashed a little bit by a Catamount team that I got a lot of respect for, but there's no way in your house with this team, with that personnel, with that coaching staff, Western Carolina should have been able to do what they did. I like Cole Gonzalez. He's an experienced guy. He grew up not too far from me. But to me, this game is going to come down to whether NC State can stop the run. Because if they can, now you put Nico in situations where you can really mix coverages, where there's downs, where you know what's going to happen. The tendencies are really high. And it could force you into some three and outs. which then in turn puts Tennessee's defense in trouble because they're going to be on the field the whole first half when you go warp speed like that. So my key to victory is NC State stopping the run for them and Tennessee being able to run the ball. I think it's that simple, David.
Yeah, well, how many touches can KC Concepcion have? Because if Grayson McCall wants to settle down in the pocket, that'd be a big help for him to do that. And then, you know, like we just talked about with Nico, like how can he overcome adversity when he's faced with it? You know, we were having a great conversation this week about the wide splits for Tennessee. That really keeps NC State from being able to load that box in a really heavy way. I'm interested to see how Josh Heupel's going to use motion and use these like split zone techniques. Everybody in the country has been running counter to death, so I wouldn't be surprised for both teams to just start a counter fest and see which team on the opposite side can fit counter the best and see which one of these teams can rush for over 200 yards. That's going to be a fairly good indicator of who wins the ball game too.
Flaming Dragon, what are you looking at?
Well, the first thing I look when it comes to NC State, can you respond from getting hit in the mouth from big plays? Tennessee's a type of offense. They're going to hit big plays. It's just the way they're built. But you're a veteran team, and I think you're going to be able to respond to that too. We've talked about it all day. Can you make Nico uncomfortable in the pocket? We haven't seen it yet. Are you going to show pressures? Are you going to back? I'm interested to see what the scheme will be from just an obvious 11-man, what they show in the line of scrimmage up front for NC State. And another thing is Grayson McCall is the reason you brought him here.
Yeah.
All right. He has to be the guy that you think he is in big games. And this is a huge game. This could be a coming out party for not only Nico, but for Grayson McCall if he shows up and play this. And two, who can control the tempo? All right. If you're NC State, let's play a game called How Slow Can I Go to keep it out of their hands. And trust me, Tennessee wants to run the ball. And you go back and you look at that bowl game, Nico had 15 carries.
Mm-hmm.
15 carries in that game. I'm interested to see how Heupel's going to manage him when it comes to running, because that's just another threat when it comes to NC State that you have to worry about stopping on offense.
Yeah.
In the bowl game, he had 15 carries. Is that what you said, Blaine?
Correct. Or
Flaming Dragon, sorry.
It's fine. Yeah, he had 15 carries in the bowl game, probably, I think, about 35 yards.
Yeah, and it's okay. A weapon. And even if he's going to hand the ball off, all he's got to do is look at that opposite side defensive end, and that defensive end has to respect it. Or whoever that edge player is, that force player. That's another thing I don't think people realize. Like, you can have the quarterback's ability to run changes everything. You can freeze the backside of every play. So now, hey, and I've seen Lincoln Riley do this a ton. We saw Caleb Williams do it. We saw Miller Moss a couple times. Literally running counter, all right, where you have the tight end and the tackle or whatever combination you want, pulling on counter, and the quarterback looking at the backside end, and the backside end can't trail anything because he's got to hold his water, and then you've got two pullers and no threat from the side they're pulling from, which makes it a whole hell of a lot of
easier. I'm interested to see how much Heupel will manage him running it.
Yeah.
You know, how comfortable is Josh Heupel with him running it, even giving him the looks? Well, you go back, like, we can go back to last night, you know, in the Ravens game. Like, that's what it could be if you're Tennessee. You have a three-headed monster where am I going to give it? Am I going to keep it? Yeah. And I'm going to throw it out to the RPO to Zay Jones or whoever it is.
Yeah, we'll never forget, the only way to get a true hat on the hat is quarterback run. Yep. That's the only way you can do it. All right, I want to move on. David, let's go to where you're at up there in Ann Arbor. We got a full preview on all these games too, guys. If you look below on the YouTube channel, we've got full length previews diving even deeper than what we're doing today. Texas, Michigan. This game to me, and you know, guys, y'all know me. I always say a box score is like a trailer for a movie. It may tell you something about it, but it's not going to tell you everything. And sometimes it may be better than what the movie actually was. But I think a stat in this game, time of possession in this game is massive, right? And typically, I don't look at one stat because there's a bunch that matter. We look at turnovers, all that. But if Michigan is winning the time of possession, not just barely, but by a decent amount, they are setting the tone for this game, and it probably means they're having success staying on the field offensively, and they're on schedule. So Texas, Sark's going to catch you a couple times. All right, he always is. But the less time, obviously, that offense is on the field, the less amount you're going to get beat up by Sarkisian's bastardized routes and doing the things against you. Because to me, Michigan's path to victory here, they can win it, make no mistake, but it's a more narrow path. They need to get this ball and play keep away and then put the game pressure on Quinn Ewers to be able to score in limited possessions, because the way the new clock rules are, like the NFL, obviously it doesn't stop after a first down until there's 2 minutes going into half or 2 minutes to the end of the game. David, when I look at this, I think time of possession is massive in this game.
You're exactly right. Time of possession is going to be a big factor. Obviously, I'm here in the Big House Boys. Want to give a shout out to Dave Abeloff and Chad Shepard, Phil Johnson, and Coach Moore, everyone who helped set this up. I'm so excited for this chess match that's going to take place between Steve Sarkisian at Texas and Wink Martindale leading this defense for Michigan. And Jake, you've been saying Steve Sarkisian always finds a way to catch you a couple times, and you're exactly right. We've seen that throughout his career. We saw it on the road to Alabama and Tuscaloosa last year. The question is, when he catches you, which can be in the pass game and in the run game, mind you, when he catches Michigan, how lethal are those plays? Are those big passes over the top, right? Or are those 30-yard gains, but somehow Michigan finds a way to keep those in front so that you can constrict the field and maybe still force Texas to a field goal rather than a deep touchdown? That chess match between those two guys is going to be an NFL-level strategic chess match, and I can't wait for it. And for Michigan to win that on the defensive side, they have to get pressure with the front four. We've been talking about this defensive line possibly being the best in the country when you talk about Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant and Josiah Stewart and Derek Moore, all these guys. You have to get pressure with those four so that you can drop more guys in coverage. You can drop a full seven in coverage. And if you have success with that, that's going to allow you to bring pressures when you want instead of having to bring pressure. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, that's where the time of possession that you're talking about, Jake, is going to become a big factor. We're way beyond in this game talking about, oh, Michigan, don't commit any penalties, right? Or don't commit any turnovers. Like, you can't lose the turnover battle and beat Texas in this game, I don't believe. And then as far as the penalties go, yeah, like, you just cannot have false start penalties or holding penalties that are moving you back to first and 15 and first and 20. Michigan has got to win first down to me, because if you can win first down, and I consider that 3.5 to 4 yards a pop on first down, either in the run game or in the quick game. All right. That's another thing. Davis Warren proved in week one, he can have success in the quick game to Colston Loveland and to Samaj Morgan and some of these guys. That sticks, spacings, spot routes, levels, mesh. He needs to have all of that stuff working. If you can win on first down, that's going to keep you in second and short, which is going to keep you in more third and short than third and long. And I think that that's going to be a big factor on how the game goes. And then, you know, field goals in the red zone. Scoring touchdowns isn't necessarily mandatory in this game. It's something that we always talk about. Which are the football games where you have to score touchdowns? Which are the ones that you can settle for field goals? I've watched Michigan beat a lot of these teams 19-16 or 17-14 because they kick field goals when they get in the red zone. That's fine, but you have to get there and you have to move the football on Texas so that you keep Quinn Ewers and you keep Steve Sarkisian's mind on the sideline.
Flaming, I want to throw two things at you real quick. And David, you bring up a great point. I think a nice analogy with what you were talking about with sticks and spacing and stick and stuff like that is you got to make your free throws if you're Davis Warren in this game. Because if Texas is going to load the box, all right, and you are going to throw it, there's going to be guys open, right? You're going to get your pick routes, especially if they're in man, guys sitting down in zones. You got to make your free throws. And the second thing, Donovan Edwards, your ass on the cover of the video game. All right, this is Texas. At some point, that engine's got to get revved up. We can talk about Colson. We can talk about Orgy. We can talk about Davis Warren. We can talk about this offensive line. But at some point, Donovan Edwards, you got to be the dude.
Yeah, I mean, with the big plays he made last year, not only do they need to make their free throws, I think they need to make their threes as well. You go back and you look at that Fresno State game, you're averaging 4 yards a pass. Right, that's not going to win you this game versus Texas. You have to put the little bit of fear in Texas's mind that you have the ability to take the top off. If not, they're going to just squeeze you and squeeze you and squeeze you, and there'll be no threat in two. This will be a line of scrimmage football game, okay? Michigan is known for what? Whipping your ass at the line of scrimmage, okay? And if they can't do that against Texas, I don't understand how they score. You watch Davis Warren. I wasn't impressed. You bring in Alex Orgy, and the tendencies are out of the roof. I don't know if he can throw it yet. Your defense is top three in the nation. We all know that. Will Johnson, NFL players. NFL players all around. Can they get to Quinn with four? Yeah. We've seen Quinn make terrible turnovers at terrible times. I look at this spread, and I just don't understand it. If it was a 7 o'clock game at Michigan, maybe it'd be a little bit different. It's 11 o'clock game. Nothing from week one proved to me that you can hang with Texas for four quarters, because I don't care how good your defenses is. They're going to score points.
Well, and quickly to put a bow on this, I've heard some people say, oh, well, Michigan was very vanilla on offense. Yeah, they were. But I can still tell if you can throw the ball or not. I don't care if it was vanilla, chocolate, Neapolitan, mint chocolate chip. I got a pretty good idea if a guy can make a simple throw or not, or a routine throw or not. And I'd be more worried about not being able to line up on third and one and give Fresno State their flowers and run the ball against Fresno State. Because this Texas team isn't what they were in the past. This isn't, I'm going to run around with dandelions and tell you how much I love you and see how many points we can score. It's, I'm going to punch you right in the teeth on the front seven. So that's what I'm interested to see. It's going to be a great matchup. We do got to move on, though, fellas. Let's go to a game we haven't talked about real quick. Auburn is hosting Cal. And some people say, oh, well, you know, this isn't one of the biggest games in the country. We're going to find out a lot more about this Auburn team. They beat Alabama A&M, a.k.a. Bishop Sycamore, I mean, to sleep in week one like they should have. But Auburn looks different. Just watching them run around, there's not a bunch of short guys on the outside that can't get open and then Rivaldo Fairweather. It's a different look at Auburn. Peyton Thorne is obviously more confident because he went from driving a Pinto to an F-150. I'd be more confident too. But this Cal team and any Auburn fan that is thinking, oh, well, it's Cal, we should just beat them up and it shouldn't be that close. These guys aren't coming all the way from California to let you have it, but you shouldn't want that. We're going to find out a lot more about Auburn. And this game to me is going to come down because Cal is going to load the box. That's what I would do. If I'm Justin Wilcox in this Cal team, I know you beat Alabama A&M up. Cam Coleman looked good. Perry looked good. All these guys, Lambert Smith looked good. I'm going to load the box and we're going to play a game called Can Peyton Thorne Beat Me in the Air in Man Coverage? Because that's what it's probably going to have to be, right, if you're going to go that route, which I think they can. So Peyton Thorne's ability to just throw a catchable ball in this game against man coverage, whether it's the nine route deep, whether it's the post, whether it's the comeback, whether it's even keeping the ball on the RPO and being able to spit it out to the arrow or the out or the over or whatever, Peyton Thorne has a chance and an opportunity against a Cal team that isn't great, but they're not bad to show that he's taken that next step, D.
Well, if Cal does indeed load the box, then what an awesome opportunity for Peyton Thorne to get some work in over the air and to beat those cover zeros, to beat those cover ones. I mean, I've seen him pull it on zone read. I know that he can run. I know that he can take off, and he's going to need a little bit of everything, right, throughout the entire season. But before SEC play really ramps up, what a great opportunity to welcome Cal to town and say, hey, if you're going to load the box, let me put in some work for 60 minutes. And let's just hope we get a full 60 minutes this time from Auburn. Or, hey, maybe they'll beat Cal so bad that Hugh Freeze will agree to cut the quarters again. But I'm interested in that line continuing to drop. I mean, earlier in the week, we talked about it was what, minus 13, I believe, now minus 11 and a half, which I know we're going to get to in locks, leans, and dogs. But look, I like Auburn in the football game.
Flaming, when you look at Auburn's defense, secondary worry you, pass rush worry you a little bit?
Look, I'm always worried about the pass rush, to be honest. As an Auburn fan, it's something I'm not used to worrying about because if there's anything you look at, Auburn usually has a solid D line. I mean, there's one main guy I'm looking at in this entire thing, and that's Peyton Thorne. The excuses are over with. All right, you look outside at Auburn, the trees they have running around, the talent, the speed. You have better players than Cal. Does anybody know if Jay Knott's going to play?
I think he's going to play.
If Jay Knott plays, that's going to help Cal a lot because that guy is an absolute—
He's an NFL player.
He's a Swiss Army knife. You can do whatever you want. I'm looking at Peyton Thorne, the turnover battle. Auburn fumbled, I believe, twice in the fourth quarter in week one. Turnovers can't happen in this game. That's going to keep Cal in it. And at the end of the day, guys, at the end of the day, you can say what you want about Auburn or Cal. It's going to come down to quarterback play right now for Auburn, I believe. That's what it's going to come down
to. And Mendoza at Cal, he can do some creative things. I'm interested to see how Auburn plays him. Down the field, as a down the field threat, I don't think he's that great of a thrower. But we're going to find out more about Auburn. And that's a great point, Flaming. You got to take Cal's hope early.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take it early. They're walking into Mordor, buddy. Like, Jordan Hare's going to be lit. 2:30, it's on ESPN2. You got to make them understand that this Auburn team is different, and there is no prisoners. We're killing them all, and it starts early. And you do that in the first quarter, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. Because guess what? At the end of the day, and we know this, it doesn't matter if it's Cal. It doesn't matter if it's Caltech. It doesn't matter if it's Cal Ripken Jr. This game is about Auburn. All the games are about yourself. How much better can we get week to week fundamentally? It's a faceless opponent. That's what Nick Saban's the best at. That's what Kirby Smart's the best at. That's what Dan Lanning's trying to do out at Oregon. The opponent doesn't matter. We'll give you the game plan. We'll tell you what they do schematically and who their guys are we got to take away. But it's about us lining up and ripping the spirit out of your chest. And we're going to see if Auburn's got that killer in him, I think. That's what we're going to find out. Or if they want to play with their food and let guys hang around, because you got to.
Cal's not just a walk in the park.
No, like, it's
Cal's
not.
Cal's got a pretty damn good roster.
No, you got to put respect on Cal's name. And Auburn, and they're a totally different team, they snuck out with their life last year at Cal. Mm-hmm. They snuck out with their life last year. So, again, I don't think the players, you know, they understand that. But before we move on quickly, the phone line is going to open up 2:45 p.m. Central. It's 1-855-236-3228. We had to lose a bunch of, we wanted to lose a bunch of weight for the movie that we're in. If you hadn't seen it, it's Lady Ballers. And one of the ways we did that was with one of our favorite sponsors, FitBod. All right, we know that if you go and do the same routine over and over again, you can get burnout, you can get bored, you can see a lack in results. But with FitBod, they create a personalized workout routine based on your goals, your fitness level, and your available equipment. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket, but it's better. And FitBod adapts to your progress, and each workout challenges you enough to push you forward, and it tracks your muscle recovery. It does everything, and it makes it unbelievably easy, and it's all based on your ability and your equipment. So join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/BOOSTER. That's fitbod.me/booster. You want to get in shape. You want to look better, because we all know you got to look good to play good. Go to fitbod.com. Use that promo code booster and see what it does for you. All right. We got some games tonight. I do want to mention Oregon State. I thought that they got guys all over the all-name team. Jam Griffin looked really good last week. Hankerson looked really good last week. No, both the running backs. Oregon State, new coach, same thing. We're going to run it. We're going to play action it. We're going to run our overs. It's a very similar process. They're going to play Sean Lewis, David, at San Diego State. Marquez Cooper last week ran for like 230. They're very balanced. Sean is a very smart offensive mind. This isn't your same San Diego State, like, hey, you know, Rocky Long. This is kind of a new version, a more hip version of San Diego State. I'm kind of interested to see how Oregon State plays this weekend.
Sean Lewis, man, he said, look, if I'm getting out of Colorado, I might as well take this head coaching job and go to work, right? Oregon State, look, I feel bad for Oregon State and Washington State getting left in the pack too. So I'm kind of pulling for them this season. Did you say that they had a kid on their team named Jam, but he's not playing corner?
No, he plays running back. Dude. Which, I mean, if your name's going to be
Jam, play
you're
quarter,
not play
man.
Corner, you play running back. I mean, I can get you out of a jam. He jams it in there, whatever. Yeah, make your giggles.
Just put them out there a couple plays. You know what I'm saying? Just put them out there a couple plays.
Why not?
Just to see?
Yeah, I mean, Then I know if I'm the wide receiver what you're doing. But that's going to be interesting. And Washington State plays Texas Tech this weekend. I love the over in that game. We talked about that in our bets earlier.
That's up to 66.5, I saw.
I know, got it early.
We watched the Washington State-Portland State game.
Yeah.
And it never
ended.
It was an eight-hour game because everyone threw it 40 times. And I'm pretty sure the final score was like 70-6.
It was up and down. The third quarter lasted forever. Quickly, SMU, BYU, big game for both teams. Retzlaff, the quarterback at BYU, obviously beat out Bohannon, had a good week last week. It was against Southern Illinois. This is the first test for this BYU team. And then if you're SMU, you get a chance after not looking good against Nevada. You basically beat a high school team last week in Houston Christian. You get a chance to get back on the mat against a team that you know, garners respect and say, hey, guys like Jake Crane, who believed in us before the year, we are this team that may have a chance to go 11-1, 10-2, something like that. Quickly, David, what are you looking for in this game? Preston Stone, maybe to play more than he has?
Well, you're kind of on the right track. I just want to see, is the two platoon quarterback system going to be a thing that Brett Lashley uses through the entire year? And again, not that it can't work. I mean, generally it works better when two guys have completely different skill sets. I just, you know, I was under the impression that Preston Stone was going to be the main guy there. So if they're going to do a two platoon quarterback system, I just want to see exactly how they're using it. And like you said, didn't look pretty in week one, but hey, still 2-0. And what a great opportunity now to play BYU. And look, Retzlaff, he threw some great balls last week. So I'm excited for this matchup.
Look, it's one thing to be hot your whole life. It's another thing to lose 20 pounds going into your sophomore year of high school. And then you look great getting back in there. You're even more popular than the person that was good looking the whole time.
That sounds specific.
I don't know. Maybe not. SMU, we'll see. All right, I want to get to the chat.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic. It will get read. We're going to start off with the number one mega Vol fan. She says, Dylan Simpson is going to have 150-plus yards against NC State. You can book it.
Well, that front seven, again, The mic got thrown out early for targeting. I get that, but I didn't like the push I saw. I didn't like what I saw with the defensive line using their hands, being able to not only disengage, but disengage and put yourself in a position to make the tackle. Tennessee is going to give you a lot of different looks in the run game. They can mix it up, and they do it at warp speed. Again, that's why my key to victory was about the run game.
All right, let's go to Darn Good Dog with the $5 donation. He says, please read this for at Chief. Chief, we got you, brother. Hashtag Ask Cranico. Would Ollie Gordon just be an average running back in the SEC?
No. Ollie Gordon's an NFL back. Just watch him. What I like is the versatility of his game. I think it translates to the NFL pretty well. We look at guys like Najee Harris, who decided to come back a year to work on his pass protection, work on his route running. Ollie Gordon's an NFL running back. He's a really good player. Arkansas is going to have to make Bowman beat him. And with that wide receiver group, they can. But we got to put respect on Ollie's name.
All right, let's go. The underscore man from M. He says, David, I love where you're at right now. Welcome to the big house. Be honest with me. Are you worried about us up front on the offensive side?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things we talked about all offseason. The proposition was basically, okay, can Michigan be good enough on the offensive line that they can withstand mediocre quarterback play, provided that the defense is one of the best in the country like it's supposed to be? Well, all three of those things we still need to see, right? We still need to see more push on the offensive line than we saw against Fresno State. We need to see better quarterback play even to get up into the mediocre range. And then look, like I said, this defense is going to have every opportunity. You want to go out and show that you're the best defense in the country? How about you go out and do it against Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers, who, also is on the cover of the EA Sports video game. Yeah. What a great opportunity for the entire team right now. And I'm telling you, I was at the building this morning, man. There's a lot of electricity. There's a lot of energy. Everybody's getting motivated, and I saw Texas as well, man. Everybody's in town and we're ready to go.
Yeah, add 10 pounds to the women's scales before you leave.
All right, let's go to Feel the Sting 10. Says, guys, I'm loving the show and I'm loving the content. Can I get a quick update on the Georgia Tech versus Syracuse game? What are y'all's thoughts?
I know a lot of people that I've talked to are kind of hot on Syracuse this weekend. And look, I can really? I can understand why. I mean, Kyle McCord looked good in week one. Fran Brown's a guy that we've talked about all offseason, and I hate to, I don't want to do this to Syracuse fans. I think he may end up in the SEC before it's all said and done. But when I look at what Brent Key and them have done at Georgia Tech and what they returned, and I know Florida State looked bad against Boston College, but this Georgia Tech team is good. And and you look at that offensive line that returned from last year that led the ACC in rushing. Haynes King's a guy that has grown as much as any quarterback that we've seen in the country. He's made a huge jump, and he looks comfortable, looks like he's having fun, and it's a system that fits him perfectly. I keep going back and forth on whether I think this is going to be a shootout or not. I need to see a little bit more from Georgia Tech's defense, right? I was very impressed with what they did against Florida State, but we kind of know a little bit more about Florida State. Not that Syracuse is some juggernaut, but now it's not a neutral site game. It's not a home game. Georgia Tech's going to truly go on the road in an environment in Syracuse, which is going to be awesome for college football because people are fired up in Syracuse about this football team. I like Georgia Tech this weekend, but that doesn't mean that Syracuse is fraudulent or anything like that. And I may, if this game goes the way I think it might go and it's tight, I may have been wrong about what I thought about Syracuse. But again, we just hadn't seen this artist paint, so it's hard to tell you how the picture looks.
What's your quick key for Syracuse on defense against the Georgia Tech run game?
Well, it's stop the counter.
Essentially, but it gets harder when they can run Q counter so well with Haynes King.
And that's the thing. That's kind of like their starter, right? That's their fastball. That's because a lot of stuff is built, just like Lincoln Riley uses the power pass, right? They use that influence with the guys pulling even on passes. If Syracuse can stop the counter, right? If Haynes is going to take off, he's going to get through one read and then take off. That is what it is. But you've got to put Haynes King in a position where he's got to throw to beat you. Not sure. He can, but Haynes King cannot be, the running back room they have that's really talented, you cannot let them beat you on the ground because, again, it sets up the whole pizza party. All right, one more.
All right, let's go to the Boz. He says, UT at UM, whichever team's coach doesn't make a bonehead timeout or clock management mistake wins this game.
I think this is going to be one of the first big games because it's a brand new rule where the 2-minute warning may save somebody. Mm. It may save somebody at the end because it's an extra timeout. So now, either way, if it's in the first half or the second half, you can actually make up for screwing up one timeout. You can't do what the Ravens did last night and make two bonehead decisions with timeouts in the second half, but you can kind of get away with one. To that point, though, I think to win this game, Michigan's got to score a touchdown on special teams or defense or make a play that puts them close to the goal line to score a touchdown and make it easier on the offense. They're going to have to find a way to steal one because, like we talked about with Sark, he's going to find a couple. All right, the phone lines are going to open here in 9 minutes, 1-855-236-3228. Appreciate everybody in the chat, man. You know we love you guys. We hit 150,000 subs yesterday. We want to get to a million. All right, we want to keep this thing going, speaking of Josh Heupel. But I want to get quickly to last night. All right, the NFL kicked off. We got an NFL game tonight. But first, if you're like the Ravens and you're struggling to keep your foot in bounds when it comes to taxes at the end, whether it's back taxes or unfiled returns, don't worry. We got the winning team for you. That's our friends over at Tax Network USA. They offer you three key services, no matter the size of your tax problem, all right? Big, medium, small, whatever. When you sign up, they give you a protection order when they contact the IRS, which means no garnishments, levies, property seizures, all that stuff is halted, which will give you peace of mind. If you haven't filed in a while, or you need amended returns, they can help you with that. They'll evaluate your financials, and they create a settlement strategy to reduce or eliminate your tax debt, putting behind you for good. Nobody likes taxes. Hell, this country was built on us hating taxes, all right? So I know people have tax problems out there. Some people forget. It's a complicated process. It is what it is. And sometimes you do need some help. And these are the people that can help you. And if you want a complimentary consultation, you call 1-800-958-1000 or visit their website, tnusa.com/booster. That's 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/booster today. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. Switch it up. Take advantage of them. Get the help you need with Tax Network USA. Man, I can't stand them guys, man. That's everybody's rival. That's everybody's rival. All right, let's get to the NFL. Flamin, I want to start with you. Watching that game last night, it was a hell of a game. The Chiefs.
If they got one more damn illegal procedure penalty, I was gonna freak out.
Stop
it. I hate it. Take it away.
Well, here's the thing though. You can't let the tackle line up a yard behind the line.
The Chiefs were doing it the whole game.
I watched NFL teams do this all last year, and they would call it once a game, and then be like, "All right, we're not gonna call anymore." You either do want to do two things. You either don't call it, or you call it every time until they stop it. But you can't let, if you're going to let an offensive tackle, when it's obviously a passing down, line up a yard behind the line of scrimmage or lean back to where he's not on the line of scrimmage, then the defensive end should be able to move up a half a yard. You're an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. That's absolute bullshit.
Yes, no,
Line up on the line of scrimmage.
I'm fine. There's going to be a penalty every play.
Good. Fix it.
Games will be 4,000 hours.
So by that thinking, why would I just, if I'm a defensive end, if you're only going to call line up off sides every time?
There's a difference between leaning back, all right, like actually leaning back, and you being this far out of where you're supposed to be.
If
we're calling this, because he could have called it the whole game.
He should have.
He could have called it the whole game.
He should have.
There's a difference between you getting a head start with the Chiefs right tackle was doing the entire game to just you leaning a little bit. If you're this far back, I'm okay.
It's a line of scrimmage. Okay. If that's the case, then who cares who's on the ball or off the ball? Don't even have a line of scrimmage.
Amen.
You know what? Put 12 guys on the field. It's a penalty, call the penalty.
We should have grabbed a picture of a penalty, something that he called a penalty, where that guy was, and the one he didn't call a penalty, because I promise you, there's probably not a damn difference.
A difference.
They pulled it up on the TV and said there's not.
You're gaining an advantage as an offensive player. That's what you were doing. So either you don't call it ever, or you call it a lot until they fix it. Do you know how many teams right now are sitting in the meeting room telling their offensive line, they called this on Ronnie Stanley 7 times last night. Don't take a chance.
Ask you this.
It's going to cost us.
Can I ask you this?
I think this game fixed it.
Is there holding on every play?
Oh, yeah, there's holding on every play.
Why didn't it get called?
On both sides.
Why don't you get called?
On both sides. Because that's not a lining up. That's a physical action. That happens sometimes.
Penalty.
You're gonna miss
I don't
call.
Care. Penalty. Penalty.
So you can see. Let me ask you this. Can you see every player during a play while the play's going on if you're an official? Can you see every player in every act? No. Answer my question.
Certain officials.
The one with glasses can.
Can you see every player? Can you see every player before the play when they line up? What's easier? I'll wait.
I know there's certain refs who look at certain players during certain plays. They all have jobs, right?
Yes.
They all have jobs.
Yes, but
so
they can't
every player is being what? Seen. And every player is what? Still. Guess what happens when the play starts? You're not still anymore. You're moving all around a field that's 53 and a third yards wide, dog. This ain't Where's Waldo.
Okay, well,
I can tell you when you're lined up. But anyway, we're going. This is the game. Flaming, I'll stay with you. I like the way the Ravens ran Lamar Jackson. They treated last night's game like a playoff game.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. When it came down to it, and I thought the offensive line for the Ravens was awful throughout the whole game, not just the penalties.
The guard play.
But when it came down to the end, there was no semblance or rhyme or reason to what they're doing. That was backyard football. And it's going to work sometimes because you got Lamar Jackson, but I don't think you can consistently beat top-level teams by just running around and going willy-nilly as opposed to watching the Patriots or the Chiefs, who were on time. The combinations were working. The ball was getting out. It didn't look pressured or flushed. I thought they looked unbelievably disorganized, which is crazy to think, David, of a John Harbaugh team.
Yeah, it was kind of a unique experience for me yesterday because I got to listen to the game while we were driving up here. So it kind of felt like, I guess how our grandfathers felt listening to the radio when football games were being played. So very interesting there. But at the end of the game, I mean, we were going crazy. I mean, trying to get the over, trying to get one team to score 30. We had, you know, all those bets placed yesterday. So I wanted to get your guys' take on the very last play, sort of the ending sequence for Baltimore, because I was listening to it and you guys were watching it.
Yeah, we got it right here. Can we go ahead and play this? All right, so you're in 12 personnel right here if you're the Ravens. One back and two tight. Here we go. Ding, 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 ding.
Mm.
And it's a great play, but you can't live that way, Flaming.
No, and if you watched a couple plays before this, Lamar missed open guys.
Oh, I had Zay Flowers. The only bet I didn't
multiple
hit last night
times.
Was Zay Flowers anytime touchdown, and he was wide-ass open in the end zone, which you said that was on him. Remember during the game, he's got to settle down?
Yeah, I think, Zay, you got to settle. That's a feel thing, right? Yeah. That's a practice play.
Chemistry thing.
That's a practice play. You win that play in practice. There's a couple things I'm going to go ahead and say here. One, Isaiah likely is going to be a huge piece in this offense. I've been saying this.
He's the new Mark Andrews, people are saying.
Point your toes. This is the NFL, dog. You catch it and you do what? You point your toes. Stuff like that never happens. Two, who's ready to watch the Chiefs win another Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Who's ready for that?
Xavier Worthy.
Good God, we're in trouble, guys. The NFL, y'all are in trouble. Three, if you drafted Mark Andrews, I'm sorry.
Well, David, they beat the Ravens and Travis Kelce didn't do anything, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you guys too. How about Xavier Worthy? He scored on the end of round, right?
Yeah.
Did he also score in the pass game?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they double moved a guy. I think they double moved a guy, or somebody busted a coverage. I couldn't see the beginning of the play. Do you know how fast you have to be to look faster than everybody else in the NFL? There's only a couple guys that look that way. Tyreek Hill.
What a great.
And I don't think Xavier's as fast. Xavier and Tyreek, I think, would be a great race. I think Tyreek's faster with the ball in his hand. But Xavier on that end of round. When he got straight line, that's Olympic speed. That is different. That is A-train from the boys' style speed.
I will say this about the Ravens. Where was Derrick Henry? You paid Derrick Henry all this money, who got four carries, I believe, on the first drive, then got two more that half, and barely got any carries in the second half. And if you're a Ravens fan, I'd be nervous about this. It's tough to run the ball with shitty guard play.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And your two guards last night, and I know it's Chris Jones, and I know he's a dog. We all know it. But that's worrisome because the Ravens are known for what? Being able to beat you up between the tackles.
Small ball.
And if you're not going to be able to do that with the Ravens, I don't think Lamar's good enough to throw you to a win every week.
Yeah. David, quickly, what do you think before we talk Eagles, Packers tonight real quick?
Eagles, Packers, is that what you want to talk about?
Yeah. Did you have anything to add? Chiefs, Ravens, anything else you saw there that – hey, how about this real quick? How about the defensive coordinator calling timeout, which you can't do.
How's
the head coach has to. And they let him do it. They're like, it's bags.
So is that what happened with that? Because, I said, I was listening to the game, and I was wondering, did he call the timeout or did
Unless I've totally lost my mind, David, the only people that can call timeout in the NFL are the head coach or the players on the field. So assistant coach cannot call timeout. Spags called timeout, and the refs gave it to him because it was Steve Spagnuolo. But literally, and look, do I really think it's not – Andy Reid literally, Spags apologized to Andy Reid on the field, and he's like, dude, I don't care. You won us the Super Bowl last year, Steve Spagnuolo. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, David, you start off here quickly. Remember, the phone lines are open right now. We want to get to a lot of people. 1-855-236-3228. Eagles, Packers in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And it's on what? Peacock?
Why are we, bring it home. Bring it home. Come on, guys.
Why are we
guys.
Sending NFL players to a place you can't let them outside?
Yeah. Like, go to Switzerland or something. We're going to Brazil.
Come on,
I mean, outside of seeing Shakira, I've got no need to go there.
There's zero reason why this game needs to be in Brazil. I'm sorry. I know we're trying to globalize the sport and we're trying to introduce it to people who traditionally love soccer, not football, soccer, but there's no reason that this game should be in Brazil. But you know what? I'll save that for some Wednesday down the road and we can just talk ball. People forget a lot of times that the Eagles started off hot last year. It was like it all fell apart all at once. And when it fell apart for the Eagles, it fell apart bad. I'm really interested to see what is the Jalen Hurts, Sirianni relationship like now, because it seems like there's been some friction, but at the same time, they're still pros, right? And they got Jalen's contract taken care of. So I don't understand what the beef is going to be moving forward. Obviously, I'm really close with Brandon Graham, so I'm hoping for another big season from him. Great to see him stay in Philadelphia for year 14 now. But then Green Bay is like, we've been talking about these different quarterbacks possibly having sophomore slumps. I really feel like Jordan Love is just going to pick up right where he left off, to be honest. And now he has even more weapons, and you add Josh Jacobs in the backfield. I don't think Green Bay money line tonight is going to be a bad play, guys.
Flaming, what does Jordan Love have to show you tonight for you to start believing? I'm going to tell you something about my brother. He has hot takes and says what he thinks, but he will also admit when something is going other than the way he thought. We were talking about Jordan Love last night. You're like, man, I tell you what, he's one or two games away maybe from changing my mind.
Yeah, the more I watched him, and I sat down a couple of days ago and really went back and watched a lot of his games, man, he looked good. I'm probably going to be wrong on this. We'll see. But I do like the Eagles in this football game. It's going to be really interesting to see the Eagles without Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox.
Yeah, it is kind of weird, right?
That's going to be really interesting. It's going to be weird to see. But you bring in somebody like Saquon Barkley, and he can be the difference. He's not a one, first, second down back. He's a three down back, Mr. Do-It-All. And you bring in C.J. Gardner-Johnson on the secondary. You still have Darius Slay, and I really like your linebacker core. And you bring in Cooper DeJean from Iowa, who I think is going to be a good piece. I think the Eagles are a complete team. I think the Packers are still building a little bit. Their defense is going to be good. I think Jalen Reed and C.J. Watson, those guys, the receiver, are solid. But I like the Eagles. I think they're going to be a little bit more balanced and better in the run game.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, this quarterback matchup is going to be pretty good. I'm interested to see how many plays Jordan is able to create with his legs, whether that's taking off and running or whether that's extending a play inside the pocket or outside of the pocket. Because to me, that's when he's best. Not that he can't beat you on rhythm, on time, and stuff like that, but Jordan's got a little creativity.
Did they ban the tush push? Is that banned now? Do we know?
Officially, I think they
we'll
did.
We'll see it.
Yeah.
We'll see it, right?
There'll be some new
Jake, who are you taking in this one? Break the tie.
I've got to go Eagles. I agree with Flamin. I think they are the more complete team, but I feel like this game may go overtime in Brazil. I think we could have our first overtime game of the NFL season. We were close last night, but Harbaugh was going to go for two. All right, quickly, we're going to get to the phones. We got to get to Locks, Leans, and Dogs. But first, we guys know y'all tailgating this weekend, whether it's up in Ann Arbor with our guy David Cohn up there, whether it's in Stillwater where the Razorbacks are coming in to play Oklahoma State. Heck, it doesn't matter. You could be at the Hofstra game. We know you're going to have some cold beverages. All right, if you don't want that bad feeling the next day, all right, and always drink responsibly, but especially if you're going to go hard, but be responsible, you need to drink Z-Biotics. This is one of the greatest inventions of this and the crock pot are two of the greatest inventions of all time. What is it? It's a pre-alcohol probiotic drink. Basically, you drink this before you drink that, and the next day you don't feel like you've been hit with an aluminum baseball bat. All right, that's what it is. It's for guys. It's for everybody. It's easy to drink. Doesn't taste bad. And again, it's kind of like a shield of armor before you go drink a cold beer while you're watching the game, maybe have a libation or whatever. David, you've used it before. I've used it before. Blaine's used it before. This isn't like a trick. This thing really works.
Used it before. It's sponsoring my whole weekend up here.
Yeah,
best
exactly
believe
right.
I brought a carload of it.
Yeah, and if you've never heard about this or you've never tried it, try it one time. I promise you, you will start buying it on the regular. You need to go to zbiotics.com/booster to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code booster at checkout. That's zbiotics.com. It's backed with 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, which you won't be, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Zbiotics.com. Put that slash. Use the code we always use, booster. B-O-O-S-T-E-R for 15% off. I'm telling you, this is one of our favorite sponsors because it really, really works, and it's an absolutely fantastic idea. But quickly, speaking of fantastic ideas, boy, the Locks, Leans, and Dogs have been pretty good for the first 2 weeks. I am shocked you are not taking a halftime tied bet after hitting two at over plus nine.
Oh, I should have. That might be a little extra dog for this weekend.
Ooh, a little extra dog.
Pack of dogs.
I was 2-0 last week on my locks, and I'm going to take a risk on one of them, even though I don't think it's that big of a risk. First bet I got in my locks, Iowa State under 37. It's at 35.5 right now. 20-17 is not going to beat me. We'll push, look each other eyes, and shake hands. That's at minus 153. So that's the Iowa State under 37. And then I'm going to go a four-leg parlay for my second loss.
You are a dangerous man.
Let's get this, you know what, jumping like Evel Knievel. Give me Oklahoma State money line, Maryland money line, Utah money line, Tennessee money line. That is plus 147. It committed the crime. Throw it in the jail. Lock that bad boy up. As far as my leans, talked about this game earlier. I'm going to take Texas Tech, Washington State over 64.5 on the total. That's at minus 138. Then I'm going to take the under on the Clemson App State game, 54.5. That's at minus 135. Those are alternate lines. Why would I not? I would rather get something for minus 135 and not get beat by a point than get it at minus 127. And then my dogs. Oklahoma TTP over 40.5 against Houston because, yes, they do have a problem. That's at plus 100. And then I'm riding with Mississippi State. All right, Jeff Lebby,
yes,
the wizard. All right, Blake Shapen, talk to me at SEC Media Dives. Media Days.
Media Dives.
Media Dives with the Black of Shapen. No, talk to him there. Give me Mississippi State money line on the road at Arizona State. That's at plus 180. I tell you, I think this is such a great hire, and this is where you're going to start to see it. But they got to stop the run game at Arizona State. The Sun Devils, shout out to our guy Trey in the studio. They got a young quarterback. It's a pretty talented player. But they ran it through Wyoming like the plague. But give me the Bulldogs on the road. Shout out to my guys in Stark Vegas, baby. Plus 180.
I like that, man. I like the parlay lock, too, especially the Maryland pick, man. I think things could get a little bit ugly against Sparty this weekend. All right, boys, I'm going to start with my locks. Last Friday, I sat here and told you the best lock of the weekend was Auburn against Alabama A&M. I'm going back to Auburn for one of my locks, -11.5, -112 on the odds against Cal, War Eagle. Then I'm going to take Oklahoma -27.5, -121 on the odds. Houston, man, not looking so great. I really like the start that Oklahoma's off to. Jackson Arnold, I think he's going to be another one of those great young quarterbacks that we're talking about. Let's see if they can cover the four touchdowns there. Clemson App State under 53 -108. A few thoughts there on that one. Either we're in for another tight defensive battle similar to the way that Clemson and Georgia played out in that first half, and that just extends for the entire game. Or even if Clemson can get things going on offense throughout the game and in the second half, then maybe they still stifle App State's offense to still hit the under at 53. That's my thought process on that one. Then I'm thinking Louisville -28.5, and that's -105 on the odds taken on Jacksonville State. Boys, I was not impressed with Jacksonville State at home against Coastal Carolina. So give me the Cardinal pass through Louisville on the way up here. I am trusting the signs. And then to my dogs, let's go Tulsa money line +245 taking on Arkansas State on the road. And then my second one, Jay, can we be bet buds for a second?
Hey, for
can
life,
we be
bro.
Bet buds on Mississippi State money line +180 at the Sun Devils.
Let's do it. Flaming, your thoughts.
David, I love it. I hate that Auburn's one of your locks, to be honest. You're trying to piss me off, but hopefully it works out.
What do you got?
Pick Michigan to make up for it.
Yeah, I know. One of my locks last week were Michigan -20.5. We all know how that went. I still haven't forgiven you all. All right, let's do it. It's time. We're rolling through another week. All right, Texas A&M -49.5 versus McNeese State at home. This is a feel-good week for A&M. You need to rack up 60 against these guys, okay? Your fans need it. Your players need it. Your coaching staff needs it. All right, Alabama -30.5. That's -115. This ain't last year's Alabama, boys. All right, we're not only scoring 17 points against USF. I think Alabama absolutely runs them out of the building, but I really do like USF's Barstool. I think he's absolutely
he's doing a great job.
Great job. My leans, all right? We lean in here. Give me Utah -13.5, -140. I do not believe in this Baylor team. I know who Utah is on both sides of the football, and I think Cam has only looked phenomenal.
Their uniforms look so good.
So far. And I'm also going to Auburn for one of my leans. I'm going to buy this down to 9.5. That's going off at minus 150. I think Auburn wins this game at least by 10 because it is at Auburn and Jordan Hare matters that much. Oh. Dogs. Arkansas, baby. Call the Hogs. Arkansas money line plus 270. Green, Sam Pittman, and the
plus boys. 290. Plus 290.
290. That actually went up. Hell, if you probably look at it right now, it's probably even higher. All right. Mm. Believe. Ted Lasso. Right here, you hit it, you believe. I don't believe in Oklahoma State's defense. I think Bowman makes some late-game mistakes. And the next one, Tulane money line. Plus 270, you are playing Kansas State at Tulane.
Beat them last year on the road.
Beat them last year, and you go back and you watch that first game from Kansas State, they did not look great. Avery Brown only had 150 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 1 interception. And trust me, Tulane's got some guys on that team.
Mince
so let's
nice.
Have another great week, guys.
Yeah, hey, let's
Jake,
stay hot.
Jake, are you nervy at all about Flaming Dragons Alabama pick? I was thinking South Florida maybe plus the 30 and a half or plus 31 when I saw it this morning.
Well, I mean, before South Florida started talking all this ish, I mean, I thought, you know, I got a lot of respect for Golish. Clinics with him when he's at Iowa State. Dude does a great job. He's going to get an even, you know, bigger job down the road. I know he's not looking there. I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering how Byron Brown can throw the ball to score. Like, I know he can run it, but guess what? You're not outrunning Alabama. Let me tell you a story. I remember how it looked last year, too. Okay, so I don't think this USF offense, I know they whipped up on Bethune-Cookman, but now I think there's a chance. I kind of like the Alabama TTP on the alt. I got to go back and look at the numbers now, but I would not be shocked if that game ends up being 52-17.
And that, yeah, I remember last year's game, it was rainy, it was nasty.
You got a lacrosse player at quarterback.
True.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to the phone lines here, Justine.
All right. First up, we have Brandon from Central Florida.
Brandon, are you in a basement, Brandon?
I am in a basement in Central Florida, the only one to exist.
Hey, Billy, we found him.
Oh, man.
All right, here's the deal, fellas. I've been a Gators fan since I was learning how to walk. I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Okay? Personally, I'm done with Billy Napier. He is clearly not up to the task of leading the Florida Gators to an SEC championship, let alone a winning season. Like I said, I've been a fan for a really long time, and I'm willing to trust the process. I'm willing to have growth years, but we're in year number 3 under Napier, and our performance in the SEC is atrocious. I see zero positive progress. I only see stagnation and regress, and I got to be honest, last week's loss put me in the fire Napier camp.
Yeah,
I don't hate Strickland as the AD. I don't. However, if he's going to be Sunbelt Billy's ride or die, he's going to have to die on that hill. If he sticks with Napier, that's going to put me in the fire Strickland camp too.
Yeah.
So what choice do I have?
Yeah. Brandon, let me ask you this. How long, I know you want to fire him right now, but there's a couple things to think about here. And I want Florida fans to really vibe with me on this. If you fire Billy Napier like week 3, nobody's taking that job during the season, which means all these guys that are getting recruited right now, they're going to go somewhere else. And that roster is going to start getting infiltrated really quickly, as opposed to maybe keeping him longer. So therefore, when you do let him go, maybe towards the end of the year or at the end of the year, that new guy can step right in there, talk to those same recruits, talk to the roster, and maybe save the ship from sinking and having to rebuild the ship out of beechwood you cut down in the forest. So this is what makes AD's job interesting. What would Billy would Billy just have to lose every game outside of the, I mean, if he loses Samford, you may have to fire him because it's that bad. But outside, is there a little bit of a thinking in the back of your mind like, hey, let's keep this guy long enough to not lose too much at the end of the day outside of what you're going to lose because it's not going good, if that makes sense?
Yeah. I think a lot of people, hopefully, are willing to give him at least this half of the season, you know?
Yeah.
To see what he can do, because the first half of our season is the only easy games we're going to have, or the only winnable games we're going to have are in this first half. So if he pulls out some wins here, then let him ride out the rest of the year and do your change at the end of the season. If not, like, the only thing that will turn me around on Billy Napier is if he pulls out an absolute miracle and finishes the season at like 9-3, but based off of last week, It's looking like a 3-9 season.
Is it A&M?
I'm going to tell you, y'all aren't finishing 9-3. I think we can all sit and be like,
I think Brandon agrees with
you. I don't know. Like, he's not making it past the Tennessee game. There's no.
What week is that?
That's week
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Week 6.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if we're going to win the UCF game.
Nothing after that performance. Nothing's just going to be a walk in the park anymore. But I see what Jake's saying. But if you do keep him and you're losing games,
you're going to be losing recruits anyways. You are, but not at the but not at the level you would if you didn't have a head coach there, because now it's fair game. Like now it's I've got no problem. I always said, if a head coach gets fired during the middle of the season, all right, not that you can transfer during the middle of the season, but I've got no problem with teams reaching out to the players that are already on the roster. The head coach is gone. Like, so, I mean, again.
Florida just needs a glimmer of hope. They need something.
Well, so let's, David, let's flip this real quick, Brandon, and then we're going to move on. This is a great call, Brandon. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Let's say Billy Napier beats Florida. I mean, he already did that.
Beats Florida?
That may
be what it takes.
No, yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. Let's say he beats Samford, which you should. And then they find a way to beat A&M, who doesn't have great wide receivers, at home. All right, so you're 2-1. Then you go to Mississippi State, whose roster is not great right now. Lebby's going to get as much juice out of the squeeze as possible, and you find a way to win that one. What happens then? Is it back? Brandon, is it back on the let's let him ride this thing out a little bit train?
You know, maybe. Like I said, I'm willing to give him half the season because that's the only winnable games we'll get. So if he can pull out these next couple of weeks, if he can pull out Texas A&M, if he can pull out the Mississippi State, then we can talk about maybe the rest of the year. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I just think the worst thing that can happen to Florida is Billy Napier wins a couple games he's not supposed to.
So, like, go into the Tennessee game at 4-1 or something that. And again, the optics, too. Like, we got to talk about DJ Lagway. How are they winning these games? Are they winning them because DJ Lagway came in at quarterback? Again, I don't think Graham Mertz is the problem, but if DJ Lagway goes in and balls this week against Samford and throws 6 touchdowns, now all of a sudden you're going to at least have some casual Florida fans thinking that that was the problem. Then if he starts against Mississippi State in the win, now all of a sudden there's some momentum. Graham Mertz is left as collateral damage.
Yeah, that's true. It's going to be interesting.
Great call, man.
We're going to see. Great call, dude.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Next up, we have Charlie in Utah.
All right. Let's go. Charlie, what's up?
All right, guys. I have a complaint about the infamous four-letter network right now. So before the season started, they made a list of the top 24 teams most likely to make the college football playoff. All right. That's not like a ranking or anything because it's got, you know, a few group of five teams. It's just the top 24 most likely. Guess where Utah was on the list?
Not on it.
Where?
They didn't have him on the list at all.
No way. Are you sure?
They don't know ball.
I'm 100% sure. And this is granted, it's before week one.
Okay, I don't
care. So they haven't played any games. But like, it's ridiculous, okay? I looked through it so many times looking for that red U, and I couldn't find it.
Utah's the favorite to win the Big 12, I think, on the betting odds. It's gone back and forth, I think, between them and Oklahoma State. It's one of two things, Charlie. It's one of two things. One, they just had some person put that list together that has no idea what they're doing. Or they do what the EA Sports video game did and put together a list that they know was going to piss you off like this so that you would talk about the list. It's one of those two. And you know what? I would probably guess it was the latter if I know the way with all those people that are over there. Which to me, why not just put... This is what I don't understand about these clickbait lists that people put out, whether it's... I'm not going to name names. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That have no relevance and they're dumb and they make no sense. But that's what gets all the clicks, right? That's what gets all the, oh, this guy's an idiot. Instead of, you know what? Why can't we put out a good list together? And if there's surprises... That's fantastic, but let's give the people an idea of what can actually happen. I'm with you 100%. I didn't see that list, but again, I'm kind of glad I didn't.
They had 4 Big 12 teams on the list before Utah.
Yeah, okay. Then that's...
Oklahoma State and Kansas State, which I can understand, right?
Yep.
Then they had Arizona, and they had Kansas.
Mm. Well, if you're going to have Arizona and Kansas, you have to have Utah. You have to.
Yeah, no shade on those programs. They're very good programs. Just Utah is obviously the betting favorite to win the Big 12 right now. You can tell I'm a little bit overwrought about this, right?
I don't.
Charlie, they don't know what they're talking about, buddy. They don't know college football. I promise you, they don't know.
All right, that's all. Thanks, guys.
Hey, buddy, good luck this weekend.
Next up, we have Nathan in Arkansas.
Nathan, what's up, man?
Talk to me, Nate.
Oh, well, it's a beautiful day here in Northwest Arkansas. How about you guys?
Man, I wish I could be duck hunting out there with you.
Yeah, well, there's not much duck hunting to do in Northwest Arkansas. Maybe Southeast Arkansas, but
hey, look,
yeah, just a lonely bulldog here in hog country.
Georgia or Mississippi State?
Mississippi State.
Okay.
Come on now. So first question I have is for Flaming and Jake. Just watched your movie, and all I got to ask is, who's the father?
Hey, dude, do you know how hard that scene was to do? Just because, like, I kept making this face. If you go back and watch it, when we sit down on the couch, when I look at Jeremy, they didn't tell me to do it. I just kept making this face. And then with David and then Tyler Fisher walking in, having that conversation, that was, I thought, one of the funniest.
It took a while to shoot that scene.
Yeah, it took a while.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, I'm not much one for trash talking, but all I've got to say is, when Florida comes to Mississippi State and you've got 67,000 cowbells ringing, now keep in mind, Mississippi State fans, they don't hold nothing back. And you stole our AD, you stole a head coach who took us to a pretty good place in our collegiate football career. And I don't know, 67,000 cowbells ringing in your ear, we'll see a lot of false start penalties. And Davis Wade.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you, that'll be a huge win for Jeff Lebby.
Yeah, well,
I don't care how bad Florida is.
Well, Florida's about as organized as a drunk in a glass house. So if anybody's going to fall start, it's going to be those guys.
But let's go ahead and win on the road this week so Jake and I can cover these dogs.
Please,
picks.
I need y'all this week.
Yeah, I love that pick. Love that pick.
I think they're going to win,
I was shocked the number was that
about
high.
Blake Shapen.
Yeah.
I was nervous about Blake Shapen and Jeff Lebby coming in, but the question that I had is Jeff Lebby the guy to get us back to that 2014-2015, you know, seasons with Dak that Dan Mullen had us at? I thought it was going to be Mike Leach, rest in peace, but, you know, with Jeff Lebby coming in, is he the guy?
Yeah, I mean, y'all don't need Jeff Lebby to have too good of a year.
Well,
he's going to be coaching at Florida.
Yeah, that's something we've talked about too. Everybody keeps talking about Lane Kiffin. I know, but look, we got to tell you what we really think. Here's what I think with Jeff Lebby, and here's what I think with Mississippi State. I think if Jeff Lebby has a long career at Mississippi State, you guys are going to average winning close to 8-9 games a year. But every third year, or once every couple years, he's going to put together a team that can actually go toe-to-toe a little bit with some of the big dogs. You want to know a great blueprint of who did that? You're not going to like this answer, but Ole Miss did. You know, all we did all offseason was talk about how much better Ole Miss got up front, so now they can compete with the big dogs. What did Nick Saban say the other day, verbatim, word for word, about Ole Miss, why he thinks they're dangerous? Because now they can compete on the offensive line and the defensive line, not just with your starters, but with your depth. Lebby understands that. He can take care of the fun stuff. He'll have the quarterback ready. He'll get wide receivers and running backs in there that want to play in a system that's very advantageous for them to show their whole canvas from a skill set standpoint. But this game is won and lost on the line of scrimmage. And it's not your starters. You don't win with your first 22. You win with your first 66. And I think Lebby can build that up. And at the end of the day, I think that's all you can ask for, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not asking for a national championship here. That's why we got baseball, you know, 3 years ago. But, you know, those exciting seasons that are, you know, 8-9 wins, and we have a close game with Alabama, Ole Miss at the end of the season, whatever. Yep. That's all I'm asking for.
Dude, he can give it to you.
The last thing I got is, Jake, congratulations on the baby. I had a BCB, also known as the Booster Club Baby, 2 months ago. Baby,
let's go.
Boy.
Let's go. Congrats. Healthy,
so we got another one to the team.
Let's go, man.
Yeah,
another one to the
board.
Dude, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do. I felt her move the other day for the first time, and it was just like, I can't even like put it into words. But if you've experienced it, you know what
surreal.
I'm saying.
It's unreal.
Man, I'm excited.
Thanks for calling,
brother.
I cooked my own dinner the other night.
Yeah, Blaine heated up his own dinner last night.
We're all so proud of you, Blaine.
Thank you.
Next up, we have who I believe is a first-time caller, Jack from Baltimore.
Oh, Jack, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? Happy Flaming Dragon Friday.
Man.
Beautiful day, Jack. Hey, the overhead in the first 15 minutes. It's going to get much better. I can't wait for my graphic at the end of the show.
That one's on me.
I know. That overhead hard for you, but Flaming, I got to talk to you, man.
Okay. Hit them with it.
All right. So, I know you Yankees have not been helping you out very much this year. Of course, I'm a Baltimore fan.
Of course.
Right now, we are fighting for first place in the AL East.
Mm.
Would you make a merch bet with me?
Do it. Don't be soft.
What's the bet?
All right. So, Orioles take first place in the AL East. We win the AL East again. When we do, you send me a hoodie.
Okay.
If I, by some miracle of the good Lord, lose, I will make a $150 donation on the show the next day.
Deal. You got to take that deal. You
deal.
Hey, Jack, way to call in and bring some heat, too, dude. I like that. Sometimes you got to put it on the table. You know, it's like Drake said, you know, well, I can't really say that.
Hey, Jack, are you a Ravens fan?
Oh, absolutely. And if you're going to talk about the game, I don't want to hear it.
Y'all blew it, dude. I got Lamar and Derrick. Y'all go give Derrick Henry the ball or what, man?
Dude, you got some fantasy points last night.
Not enough. Not enough. Derrick Henry should have more than 9 fantasy points.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving. Jack, please call back in. I cannot wait to see that bet, buddy. Good luck out there in Baltimore. God,
I hate the Orioles.
Next up, we have Trey in Atlanta.
Trey, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen?
How's it going?
Long time no speak.
Hey, what's up, dude? Good, man. I didn't know you speak Japanese.
Yeah. So I'll try to be as quick as possible. Jake, yesterday, not your pregame speech, but your opening monologue really fired me up.
Okay.
As a kid that only played high school football and was kind of average, you know, it was really, I didn't really get a lot of playing time until my senior year. But I had one coach that believed in me purely because I was the first one in, last one out, and worked harder than anyone else. And I was given that opportunity. And I happened to run into him about 500 miles away from where he coached me, where I played football, at one of my family members' weddings, which is crazy.
Wow.
We talked for hours, and I just told him, like, man, like, you have no idea, like, how you impacted the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
Ironically, this same coach, he ended up getting fired from a rival school from us, and this is how you know it's, you know, deep South high school sport, and ended up coming over to our school as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
We played his the team he was the head coach where he got fired from. And it's the only pregame speech I ever remember. I listened to 30 of them, right, in my high school career, and mm-hmm. I didn't play college. The only one I remember, and I remember this by guy being so fired up because he was fired for the most BS reason. And I can't remember what he said, but I remember him jumping up and punching a hole in that ceiling. He punched a hole in the roof of our athletic building. And I mean, just stuff raining down. And I will never forget how fired up. Mm-hmm. Like, we were not going to win this game. We were not supposed to win this game. We came out fired up, got on that high, took the lead, and just never looked back. And
best.
if you've never played sports, the guys in the or girls in the booster club, you have no idea. First of all, what a coach can do for you,
mm-hmm.
right? Or second of all, what a pregame speech can do for you. So for those kids out there, man, show up, work hard, do what you need to do. And I promise you, even if you're average, the coaches will see that. And if you're a coach out there, man, thank you so much. So
yeah. Oh, man, great. Trey, fantastic call. You're 100% correct. You know, I'd probably my favorite coach that I work for said, you know, the best part about coaching isn't the games you win, it's the lives you change. And I think some people who haven't been in it don't understand the amount of time and effort and the relationships that get built between the player and the coach. Because if I'm going to ask you to do something, you need to know that I trust you and that I actually got love for you as a person. That's why the best recruiters are the guys that really don't talk that much about football. A lot of it is about life. A lot of it is about understanding, hey, yeah, this guy may run a 4.4. He may run a 6.4 and be the worst player, but I'm going to treat everybody the same, all right? And I'm going to give you the time of day, whether you have a sturdy two-parent household at home, whether you have no parents. It's just, that's why it's so important that we protect the integrity of sports and don't let it get poisoned by people with agendas and stuff like that. So great call, Trey.
Yeah, great call, Trey. That and like pregame speeches, man. Like that,
especially
I fell in love with football, and I'll never forget this, and I'll make this quick, but my dad was doing a speech at an Auburn game in the locker room, and I can't remember exactly what age I was, but I was extremely young. And I remember listening to him and looking around and seeing a bunch of grown men with tears in their eyes.
Yeah, it just hits.
And after that, dude, I was so in love with the game of football.
Yeah, great call, Trey.
All right, gentlemen, have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Now we have a Pongo alert with Jimbo in New York.
Big one.
We find out this week, Jimothy.
Yes, sir. Right before the show started, I just checked into my hotel here out in central New York. We got a big one against Georgia Tech. And even better yet, the great Dwight Freeney will officially be presented in Syracuse's Ring of Honor.
They're bringing out all the stuff. He's going to spin his way up there. God, that guy was so good, bro.
Yes, sir. But one question that I wanted to have, and I know we continue to play out these CFP scenarios, what do you think would be the most likely scenario that you get two or more teams from the ACC into the college football playoff? Because the way I see it, I think there's a potential that you're going to see a lot of carnage. As many good teams as there are in the SEC, I think you could see a lot of those teams with three or four losses. And I think there's probably at least two or three teams that could probably get double-digit wins in the ACC. What do you guys think?
Well, hey, look, whether we're talking about the ACC or whether we're talking the Big 12 or the SEC, if your conference teams, if most of them mirror each other, you're going to get carnage. It goes both ways. If you have a lot of good teams, you're going to get carnage. If you have a lot of bad teams, you're going to get a lot of carnage. My question right now when I look, and David, you know, I just want to know what you think about this as well. When I look at the ACC, I'm first off, I'm giving respect to the teams that have not lost a game, and including Georgia Tech and Boston College right now. I don't think we can just wipe them off and say, yeah, Clemson got beat up by Georgia, but it is Georgia. Clemson's definitely the second-best team in the ACC. I'm not ready to say that yet. I've got to see Clemson do it against some of these teams that have gotten better. So, Jimbo, to be honest with you, and David, I don't know right now. Like, the picture is so muddy for me right now in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I don't know.
Yeah, and Louisville proved last year that they can come from the middle of the pack or even closer to the bottom of the pack and not only be like just a good team in the ACC, but be like a really good team nationally. I think the best chance for the ACC to get two teams in is if the loser of the conference championship picks up that second loss in the conference championship game. So either the winner would be undefeated or a one-loss team, and then that loser of the conference championship goes into that with one loss, maybe picks up that second loss. Maybe then they could get a head-to-head tiebreaker nod against another team in the Big 12 or maybe the fourth or fifth pick from like the SEC or Big Ten.
And do not forget, there are some of these teams that play Notre Dame. And after Notre Dame won that first game, Georgia Tech hosts them. Can we pull up Notre Dame's schedule just really quickly, please?
I would love to.
You got it, David. Where did they play? Just run through it real quick, D.
Yeah, so they got obviously Texas A&M already played, but then Northern Illinois, then Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville. They get them at home. Then they have a bye week, Stanford. Then they got Georgia Tech. That one's neutral site, but I believe it's in Atlanta. It's just not at Bobby Dodd. Then Navy neutral site, bye week, Florida State at home, Virginia, Army, and then they go to USC.
Wow. All right, so if you're Georgia Tech or Louisville,
look,
you could steal a big one.
I know Jimbo asked a certain question, but his real question is how does Syracuse get in the playoff? Okay, and right now this is their schedule. All right, yeah, Georgia Tech, obviously Stanford at home. You're going to kill somebody week five at UNLV, at NC State, at Pitt, Virginia Tech at home, at BC, at Cal, UConn at home, and you finish the season with Miami.
Yeah, it's Syracuse needs a good year. This is the foundation year for Fran Brown. This is where you build the foundation of the house, then you put all the cool stuff around it after Cuse mode. But, man, we're super pumped you're there. Keep spreading the good word, bro.
Have a blast, man.
Something. The noise is going to be so loud, you're going to feel it on the Richter scale tomorrow.
I love it. That's great. I want a good Syracuse. I want everybody to have great environments from coast to coast and border to border. Have fun out there. Drink your Z-Biotics, Cuse mode.
See you, man.
Yes, sir.
Next up, we have Jack from Minnesota.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Gentlemen, so I know that we kind of see athletes as like these high and mighty and some of them really smart and everything, but I was wondering, and I have a few quotes of my own, I was wondering what your favorite, like, dumbest quote from an athlete was. I have two quotes that I want to get through real quick. One is Charles Shackelford. Sorry, TJ, but he went to NC State, and he said, a reporter was talking to him when he was at NC State, and he said, you know, you're really good at shooting with your left hand. And he said, yeah, I can shoot with my left and my right. That's because I'm amphibious.
Oh,
heck yeah, he was.
Yeah, that's when you, you know, that's when you just, when you're trying too hard, right? When you're trying too hard. What's next one you got, Jack?
So there was a player for the ABA in the 70s. It was kind of competing with the NBA at the time. And a player named Marvin, nicknamed Bad News Barnes, he was a real idiot. Like, so dumb, he robbed a bus while wearing his high school Letterman jacket with his name on it. So he's a moron. But he played for the Spirits of St. Louis, their team. And this is a famous story of his. They got a plane ticket, and the departure from St. Louis was 8:01 a.m. And they were supposed to go to like Louisville or something like that. So there's the time zone difference. So it leaves at 8:01 a.m. and it arrives at 7:56 a.m. And he looks at the ticket and says, I ain't getting in no damn time machine, and rents a car and drives all the way to
Homestead. Hey, I'll give you one real quick, and then we got to move, Jack. But my father told me a story. He was recruiting a guy, a really good player, linebacker. And the kid, he was 18, came in on his recruiting trip. You know, they give you the nicest food when you go to a big-time place on the recruiting trip. And he had never had shrimp before, and he wanted shrimp. So my dad got him shrimp.
Oh, no.
Dad's walking around talking to all the recruits. Comes up to him. He goes, hey, man, how'd you like the food? He goes, Coach, I love them shrimp, but they sure are crunchy.
Oh, no.
Literally ate it with all the shells on it. Like, and my dad didn't even say anything. Yeah. He was like, good. I'm glad there's plenty of more where you came from. That poor guy, probably a couple hours later in the hotel bathroom, was basically reverse step queue. Yeah.
Oh, reverse SEPQ, that stuff. Didn't Terry Bradshaw say something like, what did he say? He said, I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah, something. It's Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, he did say that. But yeah, if you guys ever do a section on dumbest athlete quotes, let me tell you, there's a lot of them. So.
That's good. We may have to do a segment.
Great call.
I like that idea.
You guys want another one?
Yeah, let's go one more.
All right. We have Gary in Utah.
Utah, representing
on the kick drum. Come.
Yo, what's going on, boys?
What's up?
It's been a couple of weeks. Just recovered from the clinical depression LSU put me in.
You should be used to it by now.
Yeah, I've been in the clinical depression since 2014.
Yeah, literally. I'm.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, look, there's positives that you can take from the game, and like I took away a lot of positives. And so, but also there were this like glaring mistakes where I'm like, come on, man, we're quote unquote best O-line in college football. You can't establish the run in the first.
Yeah. Discipline, especially after you talk.
Someone lied.
Especially after you talked about doing it. Like that's tough.
Yeah. Like talking about like, hey, like, you know, everybody's going to know that, like, you know, this is how we play. And we've been knowing that. And I'm like, if that's what you've been knowing, bro, then...
And it wasn't like you were awful, but you weren't dominant. Like, it wasn't like we had been led to believe.
Yeah, you know, like, credit where credit is due. Like, they did a good job, right? I'm like, okay, it's a 6.5 out of 10, right? But, like, you led us on to believe that it was going to be, like, an 8.5, 9.5 out of 10.
No, I agree with you, Gary. I get it. Right? I get it.
And so... And then, like, and also, like, a couple of shows ago where people are like, hey, why are we scheduling? You want to schedule these guys. Like, I don't want to see LSU versus Houston. Like, we already get that with Nichols. What are we doing? And so, I mean, like, I think there was a lot of positives. I think, like, hey, like, both of these teams' defenses looked amazing. Just need to, like, tighten up a few little things on the defense. But I think come week six, that should all be sorted out, so I'm not too worried about that. Yeah. And
well, it's what y'all do. Y'all are the best at this. Y'all are the best at losing the first game and then figuring it out.
I just know Jaden Daniels is somewhere pissed.
Yeah.
Of a defense like that last year, buddy, y'all probably competing for a national championship.
It honestly is.
Yeah. Don't worry, they'll be 4-1 when they welcome Ole Miss.
Yeah. Well, Gary, we'll
real quick before I go.
Go ahead.
Real quick. Cone, Quick question. So when you broke down the play earlier, the gun empty, Ricky Devo bend F under, is Ricky Devo and then the bend and F under, are those the routes the receivers are running? Because for me, when I played, like my career ended and started in high school, and we had like numbers. So for example, it'd be like 7-2-2-7 on two.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so is the Ricky Devo bend F under, are those the routes that the receivers are running, or...
Yeah, like, and there's a lot of different ways to do this. And Jake and Blaine and I, we talk about the different terminology all the time. You can put whatever terminology you want in there. In that specific play, Ricky is the pass protection. So you got Ricky and Lucky inside of a free pass protection because you're in empty formation. So the five offensive linemen are all by themselves. There's no chips. There's no helps with running backs or tight ends or anything like that in 10 personnel. Devo bend is the first part of that route combination, which is a four vertical combination. And the bend speaks to what Zachariah Branch was doing, trying to find the center of the field in the hole between cover two. You got the F under, and then to the field. I think that was still Devo bend with four verticals being called, but they were breaking those routes off based on coverage to the field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So it's relatively the same, not same, but like, okay.
Yeah. They're basically just tags.
Yeah.
Right. They're tags. Okay. There's tags.
Yeah. That's why I always laugh. Like offense, they just, some guys, and it's funny, it works, I guess. It's like in the NFL, they tell every position what to do. Defense, man. Our calls are so much shorter than on offense.
It makes it so much tougher on the quarterback. We were talking about, meanwhile, Andy Reid, the play we broke down for the Super Bowl, he just goes up and says corn dog. Now he says the play call is a little bit more complicated than that, but if Patrick Mahomes got in the huddle and literally said corn dog, it would speak not only to the concept, but also to the formation, and those guys would know where to line up. So there's different ways to do things.
Yeah. Great call, Gary.
You're in the water cooler right there, buddy.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck finding that somewhere else. All right, Gary, great call. Let's get to bets for tonight. All right, and I'm not going to get up and go to the board. What do we got? Throw them up there, Justine. That NC State edumacation you got. All right.
I'm amphibious.
She's amphibious. That's exactly right.
Amphibious.
I'm going to ride. David, I'm in love with these. I'm going to ride with your bet on this, just like I
bet buds again.
The Eagles-Packers' largest lead, under 14.5. This may be the greatest bet of all time. The largest.
Come on, kid.
It's at -135. And look, Northwestern versus Duke, the smartest game on the board tonight. I think Northwestern's defensive line is better earlier than I even thought it was going to be, and I thought they were going to be improved. Duke struggled to move the ball against Elon. The offensive line isn't great. I like Northwestern at home on the money line, -122, and I don't think you'd be crazy to pair this with the under 37 if you want to do a little two-teamer. So give me, let's turn the lights off, put the masks on, and have a little fun. Give me Northwestern money line.
Golly, I love it right now. Let's be bet buds on that Eagles-Packers largest lead under 14.5, -135. And then Duke-Northwestern, man, you want to talk about winning a mathalon or a science fair or something. That team right there would do it. But I'm going to take the under in the football game, under 37, -108.
David, did you ever do the science fair?
Can't say that I have.
Dude, I did Science Olympiad 1 year, and we made a tennis ball catapult that was kind of tight.
Oh, did you?
And I was like, oh, well, you know, I like chicks.
God, yeah, I knew you like dudes. All right, bring my bets up.
They sorted me out in a different area.
All right, I'm going Eagles money line.
Just measure. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Eagles are going to pull it out late. That's going off at -126. And I think Saquon Barkley gets an anytime touchdown. I think he brought him here for a reason. I wouldn't be surprised if he can go and put that to 2+ touchdowns. And another thing, I'm going to go ahead and add this because you did bring it up earlier. Go and take that Iowa State tied at halftime for Saturday.
Okay.
That's going off at +750.
+7. That's actually low for a halftime. All right, let's go to donos.
Yeah, let's roll through these donations real quick. Let's go to JD with a $5 donation. David sent me the straight jacket because my psycho ass will be with the 90K of my family tomorrow watching Auburn Mercy Rule and Ace Team 63-9 War Eagle. Let's go to Justin with a $10 donation. Guys, I've been going to Auburn games since the barn burner '95.
Yeah.
These Auburn teams to me look way different in person. Honestly, comparable to the 04 team physically, we have freaks on this team.
No, they do look different. It's the truth. We got to see it kind of, you know, play itself out on the field, though.
$5 donation from Existential Crisis. He says, Dragon, just call me Nashville Kyle. Vols use 14 D linemen. 14th is a fifth freshman with a punt block touchdown in game one. Not worried. Snap the ball. It's all about balance.
Yep.
$5 donation from Shane. Appreciate it, Shane. Random college football question for you gents. Out of Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin, who do you think wants to beat Kirby Smart more? Go Dawgs.
Well, I mean, they're both super competitive. I think he would say, you know, Auburn, because it's the Deep South's oldest rivalry, that's what you get judged on when you coach at Auburn, how you do against Alabama and Georgia for the most part. But Georgia's going to be standing in the way of what Ole Miss wants. And that's how they're going to, I think, you know, see where they're at. That's their watermark game this year with the team they think they have. So I'll go Hugh Freeze just because Auburn and Georgia are rivals, but it's not by much.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze, most competitive guy I know, best coach ever. We all know that. All right, let's go to a $1 donation from Matt Walsh's Alien. Just a smiley face. Appreciate it, man. $10 donation from Booster Club Cards. Appreciate it. Just placed a parlay bet on all your locks for this weekend.
Let's go.
Keep your fingers crossed for me. Bring your A game to the tailgate for trivia. You're going to need it. Let's go to a $5 donation from the South Carolina man. Blaine, I hate you.
It's still going.
I guess. $2 donations from Two Cranes, One Cone. Jake still owes me merch. Grow up. Hashtag go Irish.
What? Oh, for the Notre Dame game?
I believe so.
Message me on social. Message me on social.
$2 donation from WC. Says Illinois is beating Kansas this weekend.
Man, I'm worried about that one.
Sold out at Memorial Stadium.
First sellout, I think, in a long time. And Luke Altmyer.
I looked at that one, too.
Look, nobody's talking about Luke Altmyer, man. Like, oh, boy's got some tools. So that'll be a good one to see where Bielema's team's at after we know what all they lost. Last year's team had lost so much, including Walters going to Purdue.
$5 donation from Jeff Garcia's brother. Blaine, you better not step your ass in South Carolina. All right, appreciate it. $5 donation from Cole. Appreciate it, Cole. What do you guys think about UCF going up to the Swamp in Week 5 after seeing Miami go up there, especially with UCF playing Colorado the week prior?
I got to see more of this UCF team. I got to see how consistent they can be, how much better that defense is, and if KJ can be a more consistent passer, because he just looked old to me in that first game. He just looked kind of old.
$5 from our cousin Eugene. Been trying to call in all week. Lines have been slammed. Another parlay I gave you guys last week missed by one.
Ugh.
Thanks for it. Under. We'll try to call in this week. We got a $1 donation from Ryan Basel. Auburn has a good chance to beat Georgia this year. Ooh. Claim them 1 week after they play at Alabama.
And Auburn does have a bye, but it's at Georgia, man. And they're so their roster's still so far ahead of where Auburn's is. This is what Hugh's trying to bridge this gap through that in the portal. They're a lot better equipped to do it than they were last year, and they hung in that game. But we know the magic that happens at Jordan-Hare.
All right, if you donated today, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Let's get to this poll. Who has a better chance of pulling a upset this weekend? NC State, Michigan, Arkansas, Cal.
David, what do you think?
I mean, come on, Michigan.
Yeah.
Let's not even call it an upset, okay? Boys in blue tomorrow. Give me Michigan 98%.
I'm going to go Michigan 59%.
All right, Cal, 5%. NC State, 16%. Michigan, 36%. Arkansas, 44%.
They're gassed up.
Wow.
Dude, Arkansas
fired
so
up.
I love
fired
it.
Up.
I love it. Yeah, and you know when you tell him don't go somewhere, he wants to go there even more.
Yeah, he'll go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to stop me?
Yeah.
Thank you, boys.
Hey, enjoy it up there, David. Talk to you in a little bit, buddy. I know Adam's going to love it, and we're going to get back with you. Appreciate you guys at home. You guys are the best. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And, like, the chances about not me being not being jacked and super tan about college football and the NFL, shut that mouth, mustache boy. We're going.
Come on.
He's gone. Hot, I'm telling you. I'm basically like Gambit now.
Republicans are Nazis. You cannot separate yourselves from the bad white people.
Growing up, I never thought much about race. Never really seemed to matter that much. At least not to me.
Am I racist?
I would really appreciate it if you
left. I'm trying to learn. I'm on this journey.
If I'm going to sort this out, I need to go deeper undercover.
Say I'm racist. Joining us now is Matt, certified DEI expert.
Here's my certifications.
What you're doing is you're stretching out of your whiteness. Listen more for you in this field.
Is America inherently racist?
The word inherent is challenging there.
I want to rename the George Washington Monument to the George Floyd Monument.
America is racist to its bones.
So inherently.
Yeah, this country is a piece of
white
folks,
white
trash,
white supremacy,
white woman, white boy.
Is there a black person around
here? What's a black person right here? Does he not exist?
They say I'm racist.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. What's your name?
I'm Matt.
I just had to ask who you are because you have to be careful.
Never be too careful.
They gonna say you racist.
Buy your tickets now. In theaters September 13th. Rated PG-13.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.